Listening to worship music in the car, I love it in the house. I love to listen to it when I'm studying, when I'm reading. And I'm just telling you now, the music that you listen to on a regular basis, it's shaping your heart and your mind. The music that your kids are listening to on a regular basis, I promise you, it makes a difference in their heart and in their mind. And one of my favorite songs is an old Christian hymn. A lot of you probably know it. It is Well With My Soul. Written 1873 by a man named Horatio Spafford, and it's been encouraging believers for over 100 years. And it's really all about the peace of God deep down in our souls, regardless of the circumstances that are going on around us. It truly is an amazing song. And it just happened to come on this morning as I was driving in, and I'm telling you, man, God did something in my heart in just a really, really neat way. That's why I just had my own private worship service in the car as I worshiped him, thanking him for the peace that is available in my life. And it's only available because of Jesus. I want you to listen to some of these lyrics. The song says this: when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul, right? That's peace right there, right? It says, no matter my lot, meaning no matter what's happening in my life, right? Good, bad, or ugly, no matter what's happening, I can say it's well with my soul, and that's only possible because of the peace of God. And whether you can articulate this or not, right, you know and understand that we are living in a world that needs some peace. Right, that there are hearts and souls of people all around us all the time that need some peace. And the good news is we can have it. Right? Well, we're in a teaching series right now called So What? Why does the resurrection of Jesus matter? Well, on Easter Sunday, we saw that the resurrection of Jesus brings hope for us. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for eternity. Last Sunday, we saw that the resurrection of Jesus brings clarity. Right, understanding to the Word, understanding to the promises of God, understanding to our lives. And this morning, here's our title if you're taking notes. We're going to look at this: the resurrection brings peace. All right, open with me to John chapter 20. And while you're turning there, no one is going to argue with the statement that our world needs peace. People's minds and hearts are unsettled. We desperately need it. I saw it firsthand yesterday. I was at my son's 12-year-old baseball game, and I'm standing there coaching first base, and one of our players got hit by a pitch on the hand, sort of pinched his finger between the bat and the hand, and he's 11, right? It hurt him. So he fell down. He's crying a little bit, and the parents of the other team are heckling an 11-year-old, and they're yelling at him. They're saying some of the most unkind things that you can imagine. I'd never seen this in a game like that before, and you'd be proud of me. I didn't yell at them. I walked over to those parents and was like, hey, what are we doing? Take a deep breath. Settle down. Get some perspective. And as I walked away, I thought, is our world really like this? It is. It is. People are unsettled. They're angry. They're anxious. They're stressed. They're worried. And when the slightest little thing bumps them or doesn't go their way, it's almost like they're on the verge of exploding. Let me just say that if you're here and your heart and your mind is in turmoil, if you've been feeling anxious, stressed, worried, angry, unsettled, I want to encourage you and let you know that you can have peace because Jesus is alive. John chapter 20, look at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Pause right there. On the evening of that day, the day is Easter, right? That this is still the day that Jesus rose from the grave. It's been quite a day, and the disciples don't know everything yet, and so they're locked in a room, right? Jesus was killed. They are followers of Jesus, so they just assume, probably rightly so, that they're going to be next. And so they're unsettled. Their hearts are anxious. Their hearts are worried. Their hearts are stressed. They're looking to the future, and it is uncertain. Keep reading. While this is going on, Jesus came, and he stood right there in the middle of them, and he said, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed him his hands and he showed him his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I feel like that's an understatement, right? Of course they're glad. They're overjoyed. They're thrilled. They're pumped that Jesus is there. Verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. And if you withhold forgiveness, it's withheld." Now, this is a great way for the disciples to end the day. They go from huddled up and scared and questioning their futures. Now they've seen Jesus. Now they have talked with Jesus. They know for sure that he is alive, and he's given them a message. He said, "Hey, peace," right? "Peace is for you." He says it twice in these verses, and he's going to say it again in a minute. Look at verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, he's called the twin. He wasn't with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and unless I place my finger there, and unless I place my hand into his side where Jesus was pierced, I will never believe." Now, our focus today is the peace of God in our hearts and in our minds. But we need to address this conversation with Thomas before we go on. He wasn't there when Jesus appeared the first time. And so he didn't have the same experience as the other 10 disciples. And when they tell him about it, this conversation, it's massive news, right? Think about what that looked like. I would imagine that all 10 of the disciples, they wanted to be the one to break the news to Thomas. And so they're running to Thomas, they get to Thomas, they're all talking over one another, just excited. You know how you get when you're excited and there's good news? It's bubbling out, and Thomas is probably trying to figure out which one to listen to, what's going on, and it finally clicks. You're like, wait a minute. What are they saying? They're saying Jesus is alive? No way. No way. He didn't believe it. He says, I got to touch the scars, or I'll never believe. You ever heard the nickname Doubting Thomas? This is it. This is where it comes from. And I'd say that he earned the title. Now, you might read it and think differently. You might think, well, give the guy a break. But I want you to really, really think about what's going on here. The people that he trusts more than anybody in the world, right? His friends, the guys that have been there with him. He's traveled with them. He's done ministry with them for years. And 10 of them, this is a 10-to-1 scenario. 10 of them are saying, Jesus is alive. And he's giving us peace. But still, he says, no, got to see it for myself. And forgive me, but I'm going to spoil the ending of this passage for you. But in just a few minutes, he does see Jesus. And he does believe. And Jesus says, very glad that you believe, but blessed are those who haven't seen me alive and yet still believe. Who's he talking about there? You and me. Right, we haven't seen Jesus alive, but because we have heard that he is, we've heard the message of the gospel, God has stirred in our hearts, and we have believed, we've placed our faith in him, Jesus says that we are blessed. Let's pick it back up. Verse 26. 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them this time. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. I know that's what you wanted. Put your finger there in my hands. Give me your hand. Place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And then Thomas answers, "My Lord, my God." Right? This is a declaration from Thomas. He's saying, "Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are God. And Jesus, you're alive. You really are alive in the flesh. You're not a ghost. You're not a dream. You're not a vision. You are alive in the flesh." It's a declaration of that. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So Jesus shows up again, and what's the message? A third time, the message is, "Peace be with you." So much jammed into the sequence of events. And I'm telling you now, we could take this a lot of different directions. There's a lot of content here we could spend the next several weeks on. I understand that. But this morning, I want to drill down on two specific things, both related to the peace of God in our life. And the first is this. We're going to look at how Jesus interacts with his people, and then we're going to look at how in those interactions he brings the peace of God to our lives, okay? First, the interactions with his followers. Number one is this. What we learn here in this text, that Jesus has unlimited access to our lives. Think about that. Jesus has unlimited access to our lives. The disciples are in a locked room. It's locked from the inside. They're trying to keep anyone and anything out. They're hiding. They're limiting access. Well, that doesn't stop Jesus. And the same applies to us today. There's nowhere in your life that Jesus cannot get to. Get all in your heart, all in your mind. He knows your thoughts, every last bit of it. Jesus can get to your body where no doctor can get. Jesus can get into the depths of our soul like no friend, spouse, or counselor can. I want you to understand that no matter how heavy things might be in your life, there is no depth. There is no depth that Jesus cannot reach you at. The part of your life that you have closed off to every other person in this world, Jesus can get right there. He's got access even to that. Second, as we see him interacting with his followers, understand this. Jesus is not afraid of our fear or any other big emotions we might have. He's not afraid of the mess of our emotions. Their fear was real. And like them, we've got real fears. We might fear about our future or our kids' futures. We might be wondering about our kids as we see them grow up. Are they going to be okay? There might be fears in this room about our finances, fears about our relationships. And if we were really, really honest and we bared our souls in here, there's probably a lot of people that just have this fear wondering, I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I'm enough for my family. I don't know if I'm enough to make the impact that God's called me to make. We see here that when Jesus steps in, we have a Savior that comes to his children even when they're afraid. Look at this. He doesn't wait for them to figure it out. He doesn't wait for these big emotions to calm down. Not at all. He steps in no matter our condition. People don't do that for one another like Jesus does, right? I mean, think about your life. There are people in your life, and there's seasons in their life or seasons in their day even when they've got emotions, they've got things going on, and it's just a little much. We don't want to step into it. A silly example of that. There's people that work in your office, and you know, you're not talking to them until they've had two cups of coffee in the morning. You watch them, and you make sure they go to the coffee pot twice, and then you know, okay, they're probably at a state that I can handle now. You might have people in your life that when they get hungry, you don't deal with them. Do not tell him that I told you this, but my youngest, when he gets hungry, he's really challenging to deal with, right? He gets angry, right? And the emotions are big. Got to get some food in them before we deal with them. We just don't want to mess with some of the issues. Jesus isn't like that. He didn't wait for those things to calm down. He's not scared of our emotions. He's not scared of what's going on. He is right there with us. And that's actually number three. Jesus gets in close. What does he do? And the door's locked and he's there. He's not throwing a rock at the window saying, hey guys, I got a message for you. He's not calling through the door. He's not playing games with them. What does John 20 say? He stood among them. And so now, in this moment, they're living with the reality that Jesus is in their presence. He is with them. Today, we live with that same reality. Jesus has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, Great Commission, I'm going to be with you always, even to the very end of time. If you're a follower of Christ, that the presence of Christ is with you. He wants you to know that and to be aware of that and to just to walk through this life day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour, knowing that he's alive, he's there. You've got access, not scared of our emotions, and he gets in close. And he does all that. He's got a message for us. What is it? Not once, not twice, three times. Jesus said, peace be with you. So for us, we know and understand that because of the resurrection, because of Easter, because Jesus is alive, we can have peace. Sounds nice, doesn't it? We like peace. We like those moments where we're by ourselves and our phone's not ringing and we see the sun going down. Still. Peaceful. We like those moments where we're sitting by some water, the ocean, the lake, whatever. There's nobody around and we just get to listen to the sound of it. It's peaceful. Walking through the woods. No cars, just hearing birds. It's peaceful. All of our hearts are drawn to that. Why? Because when we look in the New Testament, we see that peace is a gift from God. Let me define it for you real quick. Peace is a state of tranquility or stillness or quietness. and our souls, now this is key, that goes above and beyond our current circumstances. So here's what that means. The circumstances around us do not determine if we have peace in our hearts and in our souls. This is an inside-out reality or gift from God. So even if you're not watching a sunset, if you are stuck in Houston traffic and you've got people honking and gesturing at you all afternoon, I'm telling you, you can have peace in that. Maybe you forgot to do your taxes and you were up really late one night this week. You can have peace even in the midst of that. Why? Because it's something that God does in us. 2 Thessalonians 3, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, not good times. Not good times, not only happy times. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. It's a gift from God. Shows up many ways in our life. And I want to share three that I pray we'd hang on to this morning. Through Jesus, you and me, we can have peace between us and God. If you look back at the end of verse 19 and the beginning of verse 20, there's a series of events there that if we read too fast, we miss. In verse 19, Jesus says, peace be with you. It's the first thing he says to him when he appears in the room. Peace be with you. And then what does he do? Look at verse 20. Peace be with you. Look at my hands and look at my side. Right? He declares peace and then he shows them the scars. Here's what he's saying. He's communicating. He's saying, hey, you can have peace because of this. He's saying, I made peace for you with God on the cross, right? He went to the cross. He took the pain. He took the punishment. And he gave us what? He gave us peace. Romans 5:10 makes it very clear for us. For if while we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. That peace with God, it comes from the cross. And that's not an isolated moment in the Bible. That is a consistent message throughout the entirety of it. Colossians 1, 19 to 20 says the same thing. For in him, this is Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Because of Jesus, you can have peace with God. What a comfort to us. It is great news for our hearts and our souls. We can rest. We can be still knowing that because of Jesus, we've got a peace with God, and that peace works its way through every aspect of our lives. The second is this. Through Jesus, we can have peace in our hearts and in our souls. Think about that. You can have peace in your hearts and in our souls. I shared earlier, you agreed with me, I heard it, that the people are on edge today. Unsettled in their spirits. It's a sad reality of our world today. Imagine that you go tomorrow where you always go, work, school, neighborhood, home, gym, wherever you go. And imagine that you have this x-ray vision, not to see through walls, but you can see into a person's thoughts, or you can see into a person's heart and soul, that to really see what's going on there. You see what people are thinking and how people are feeling. I'd imagine that if the studies are right, and I think there are, you'd see a bunch of anxious, overwhelmed, stressed out, overstimulated, just unsettled, and maybe even angry people. I counsel with people often, right? A lot of heavy hearts. A lot of people carrying around a lot of weight that God never intended for them to carry, right? Just spiritually, mentally, emotionally. A lot of people walking through life feeling like every problem is dependent on them to solve it and make something happen, and they're just unsettled, right? They can't find that place of peace. I was talking to a group of parents the other night, and parents that are approaching seasons of life with their kids, and as they're talking, I'm thinking, this is awesome, right? I'm so happy for these kids. I'm so happy for these families. Like, these are moments of celebration, and the parents are wound so, so tight. They are so stressed about seasons of life that should be an absolute joy. And on some level, I get it a little bit. Like I understand there's a lot of distractions, there's a lot of issues in our world today. There's a lot of sin in our world today. It's easy, maybe sometimes, for our minds or our hearts to drift or struggle to find peace, but I want you to hear me this morning. It does not have to be that way. right? God did not design it to be that way. The relationship we have with Christ is not supposed to be that way. The Bible promises us peace in our hearts, right? Peace in our souls, in our mind, and that's available for everyone that believes in Jesus. Philippians 4, look at what it says. The Lord is at hand. That's key, because Jesus is alive, and because he's here, because his presence is there in your life, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and something will happen. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, look at it again. The peace of God, which we can't understand, right? It says it will, not maybe, not possibly, not hopefully, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Think about the mental imagery of that verse. The peace of God will guard your heart and your minds in Christ. The scripture is painting an image of soldiers setting up a perimeter around something valuable that they are trying to protect. Think bodyguards around a person. They're not going to let anything in that can bring harm. That is their job. That's their job. God promises that when we come to him like this, he sets up guard, right? He sets up guard. And the cares of this world are not going to break through. They're not going to disrupt that internal peace that we have with God. Now, I want you to read it. The Lord promises to guard our hearts and minds, meaning stuff ain't getting in, right? It's blocked out. But I want to make sure you understand this so you don't leave disappointed. This is not a promise that he's going to clear your world of anything that might stress you out. That's not what this says. You understand the difference, right? He's not going to let it in a way that disrupts the stillness of your spirit, of your soul. But Jesus did say, John 16, we'll look at it later, that in this world you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. And even when you are covered up by that trouble, financial trouble, relational trouble, marriage trouble, trouble at work, school, or home, he promises that we can have this peace of Christ that transcends all of it. Recently, I've had two very detailed and specific conversations with men in our church. Separate conversations, separated by a couple of weeks. And both of them have received very serious cancer diagnosis. And both of them, that they wanted me to know what's going on so I could pray, so I could minister to them and to their family. And as they walked me through it, they said, this is what's going to happen to me. This is what's going on. This is what the doctors are saying. This is how concerned they are. They just laid it out, and they said, I'm going to struggle. And as I walked through this, very, very heavy, separate conversations, independent of one another, both of them looked me in the eye and said, hey, all of this bad, but don't worry about me. I'm in perfect peace. They weren't lying. I could see it in their eyes. I could see it on their face. Their voice isn't shaking. They're good, right? And it's not, hey, I'm at perfect peace because I know God's going to heal my body. They're not saying I'm at perfect peace because I know this is going to work out and I'm going to go back to normal. And just that's not what they're saying. They're saying, hey, listen, don't worry about me. I'm at peace. Whichever way God wants to take this, that the peace of Christ is guarding my hearts and minds. And these men have peace that we can't understand. They didn't manufacture it. They're not faking it. They are living out a promise of God in their life. I'm just telling you, the peace of God is real. It's real. Massive difference in our lives. You can experience it only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. It's a peace that passes understanding, a peace that doesn't make sense. It is a work of God in our life. So wherever your heart is today, wherever your mind is today, it can, I'm telling you, it can rest in the peace of God. And then third, I want you to understand that through the life of Jesus, you can have peace with others. Peace with others. I'm going to move quickly through here, but I want you to know you can have peace with other believers. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how all of a sudden these two groups of people that did not like each other, hate's a strong word, but that's how they were, Jews and Gentiles back then in the city of Ephesus, they can be one family because Christ has broken down all that hate between them and made them live together in a place of peace. We see that in our church family. There are a lot of different people here, a lot of different backgrounds here, a lot of different life experiences here and life choices here. And listen, because of Jesus, we are knit together in peace. We choose to love one another. We choose to show up for each other. We choose to support one another. We can have peace with other believers. Second, we can have peace in our relationships, right? I'll highlight two. Husbands and wives, you can have peace together because of Jesus. If you live with Christ and do what he's called you to do, Ephesians chapter 5, if your marriage is a picture of the word of God, love and sacrifice, submission, respect, if that is a picture of your marriage, your home is going to be full of peace and joy. Parents and kids, same thing. I'm just telling you now. People talk about parents and kids butting heads and there being friction a lot. And I'm just telling you, you can live in a home of peace. Moms and dads, live out Deuteronomy chapter 6. Teach your kids above all, not just with your words, but with your actions and your lifestyle. Teach your kids to love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and strength. Kids, do what God said in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor, respect, and obey your parents, that it may go well with you, right? You will live in peace in your home, right? Jesus does that for us. And not just with those close to us. We can have peace with the world because of Christ. Now, again, just to be clear, no misunderstandings here. I'm not saying that every person in this world that is going to be peaceful with you, but I'm saying that you can respond in peace to them no matter what happens. Here are the words of Jesus, John 16. I've told you these things that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Here's what that means. Even when the world around us is bringing us nothing but trouble, we can respond to peace because Jesus lives in us. Peace is really nice. It is really nice to have a calm heart and soul and mind, regardless of the challenges of this world. And the promise that God has for you is that you can live with that kind of peace every single day. You might be thinking this morning, how? Okay, give me some specifics. Love to. Right, let me give you two. If you're this is for believers, okay? If you're a Christian and you're a follower of Christ, I'm going to give you two ways this piece is a reality. If you're not a believer, I'm going to share with you at the end of our time together what it means to trust Christ, and that's where you find this peace. But for the believer in the room, if you want that peace to grow in your life, step one is this. You need to grow in your relationship with God. Grow in your relationship with God. And this is not an arbitrary thing. I'm just pulling out of the air. This is what the Bible says. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. May God give you more and more. Like, this is an abundant mentality, right? May God give you more and more grace and peace. So may God give you more and more peace. When? As you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Right, as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus. Jesus has said he's our peace. He's told us that in him we can have peace. It all comes from him. Let me just ask you, why would we expect the peace of Jesus to calm our hearts and minds if we're not walking with Jesus? He's the source. It all comes from him. It would be crazy for you to go to an apple tree day after day after day looking for oranges and then getting frustrated that no oranges are there. Yet you gotta go to the source. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians today that have that same unsettled spirit. They're living on that same edge as some people in the world. And it's because they're not looking to Jesus. They're not growing in their relationship with him. Spiritually speaking, they've become stagnant. They're not seeking to grow. They're not picking up their Bible. That they're not going to the one who has said he is our peace. It's there. It's there. And scripture says that we will experience it more and more as we grow in our knowledge of Christ. As we grow in our knowledge of Christ, we're growing in the knowledge of our love for him, or of his love for us. We're growing in the knowledge of his promises to us. We're growing in the knowledge of his sacrifice to us. Well, we're growing in all of these different realities of God. And as we grow in that, the natural result is we begin to live with this peace and stillness and confidence of what he's doing in our lives. The Center for Bible Engagement, I've mentioned this before, did a study over 400,000 Christians in North America. And I want you to understand, this is what they said. This is a study on believers, right? 400,000 of them. Those that read their Bibles, meaning they're growing in their knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, they experience less than half of the amount of worrisome or anxious thoughts of believers that do not read their Bibles. Science is proving the Bible true, right? A.W. Tozer, brilliant theologian. Maybe you've read some of his stuff. It's good. If you haven't, pick it up. He says, the nearer a man is to God, the calmer he becomes. Think about people in your life that just walk through with a steadiness, a calmness. They don't get shaken. They don't get rattled. Bet this is true of them. The nearer a man or woman is to God, the calmer they become. So, grow in your relationship with God and let His peace change you like only His peace can. I'm going to tell you, it starts right here. A very practical way to do that. Second, if you want that peace that's found only in Jesus, talk to Him, right? Spend time in prayer. That's what Philippians 4 says, right? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then, only then, and then the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So when does it happen? It's when we make the active, conscious choice to pray rather than to worry. He tells us, when we go to Him, His peace will guard our hearts and minds. When we pray, we're showing we're dependent on You, God. We're saying that we need You, God. We're saying our hope, our trust, our faith, it's in You, God. And He promises to show up. But I want you to understand the opposite is true as well. Think about this. When we neglect to pray and choose worry, we're making it look like it all depends on us, that our problems are going to be solved by us. And I know that we never say this out loud with our words, but when we neglect to pray, the reality is this. Our actions are communicating to Jesus, hey, Jesus, you can sit this one out because I got it. Listen, that's not the recipe for peace in your heart and life. Jesus gave us the recipe. Pray. So when you feel worry starting to creep in, and we all do, I do, you do, when we feel worry starting to creep in, let it be this natural alarm bell that goes off in your brain that just reminds you to pray, that reminds you to flip a switch and just stop right there and offer up a prayer to the Lord and allow His peace to do what He promises it will, to guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing like the peace of God in your life. Don't make it complicated, right? Do what He's told you to do to find it, right? Read your Bible, grow in your knowledge of Him, and spend time in prayer. And I promise you this. Do that this week, every day. I promise you next Sunday, you're going to be different in your mind and your heart, right? You're going to experience the peace of God like maybe you haven't in a long time. And the more you do it, right, that the more that peace of God just falls on you regardless of the circumstances. Back to that old hymn. It is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford wrote that in a time where he should not have had peace. Should not have had peace. He lost almost everything in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. He was building stuff back up. Wanted to go this mission trip with Moody and his people to Europe in 1873. So he's getting ready to board the ship. Some last-minute business pops up, so he stays back. He sends his wife and his four daughters across. He's going to meet them later. Well, November 22nd, 1873, the ship carrying his family hit another vessel out in the middle of the ocean, and in 12 minutes it sank. It was gone. His four little girls drowned, all four of them. His wife was picked up floating on a piece of wood. She survived. She was taken on to Europe, and she sent him a telegram, a message, said this, saved alone, what shall I do? You imagine reading that? Imagine as a parent, just being shattered, learning that, I mean, I've just lost my kids, all of them, in the most tragic way. Spafford gets on the boat, and he's going to Europe. He's going to meet his grieving wife. And in the night, as it's sailing, the captain says, hey, we're about at the spot where that ship sank not too long ago. And so he knows now that he is over the same waters where his four little girls drowned. And he's overcome. He's overwhelmed by the work of God in his heart. And he sits down and he writes these words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whether I've lost my little girls or not, whatever my lot, God, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Spafford experienced a profound peace in his soul that transcended unbearable suffering. That the peace of Christ is bigger. In your life, whatever you're facing right now, tragedy, heartbreak, whatever you're facing, that the peace of God transcends our circumstances. Jesus knows that. That's why three times he tells his disciples, peace be with you. It's available in him, not apart from him, in him alone. Grow in your knowledge of him, and talk with him in prayer. And if you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, I'm telling you that if you trust Christ and Christ alone, you will experience peace in your heart and soul that is from God, unlike anything you have ever experienced. Would you bow with me this morning? So we bow our heads to pray. I just want to encourage you, no matter who you are in here or what's going on in your life, I just want you to lift up a prayer to the Lord, thanking him that peace is available because of Jesus. Thank him that you can have peace in your heart and soul. Now, you might not right now. You might be unsettled right now. You might not be a believer right now. But I want you to go to the Lord and thank him that peace is available. It's available. And if you're here today and you are walking in that peace and it is a picture of your life, well, Jesus went to the disciples and said, hey, peace be with you. And as the Lord sent me, I'm now sending you. Man, take that peace out of here. Share it with others. Well, let the peace of God overflow out of you onto those that are in your life. Like, that's the plan. Let them trust in Christ because of the peace of God that's resting in your life. If you're here this morning and you're a believer in Jesus, and that peace is not a picture of your heart right now, that's not your current reality, maybe you're a little bit unsettled today, or a little on edge today, I want to encourage you, do what the Lord calls us to do. Right? He's not hiding this from us. He says, hey, just grow. Grow in your knowledge of me. Right? So commit to him this morning. Say, God, I'm going to learn what I can. I'm going to learn more about you. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to soak it up. I'm going to let your promises shape my mind and heart. I'm going to let your grace, your goodness, all coming from you. I'm going to let it shape me, God. Commit to being in prayer. Say, God, you know what? When I begin to feel this way, I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray. Maybe that means I'm praying 20 times an hour. Well, God, whatever it takes. When I feel this way, I'm going to pray. And ask him to do what he promised, to let his peace guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you this, he will. That's for believers that are a little unsettled, that aren't experiencing the peace of God. And then finally, if you're in here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you've never experienced this kind of peace from God. You don't know what's there. You might not even know what you're missing. I'm telling you this morning that you can have peace like nothing you've ever imagined in your heart and in your soul that is not dependent on the circumstances around you, and it comes when you trust in Christ alone. So if that's you this morning, and you've never done that, in just a minute, we're going to stand up, sing one last song. We'll have some pastors and prayer partners down here. We'd love to pray with you. If you're ready to trust Christ, just come to one of us and say, hey, I'm ready to trust Christ. I want that peace in my heart. That's all you got to say. We'll look in the Word with you. We'll lead you through it. You can leave here, child of God, with the peace of God all over your heart and life. If you're here and you want someone to pray with you about circumstances that are going on in your life right now, where you might be struggling to find peace, come on. Well, we'd love to pray with you about it. Maybe there's something else altogether going on. Whatever it is, just know when we stand to sing, that's your invitation. We'd love to pray with you. Father, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your promise of peace in our lives. God, not something that we fake, not something that we manufacture, not something that is dependent upon how our day went. It's peace because your living Son, Jesus Christ, has promised it. And God, we're so grateful for the peace we have in him. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.